on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
We're overlooking Oahu's South Shore. It is time for the Golf Club. It is Saturday. Could it already be the end of February, the 18th? Or does time fly? Oh, we've got a great show lined up, Undercover with Peter Finch and Kim Hall. Peter is a senior editor at Golf Digest magazine. Kim Hall, LPGA, and she was the undercover model. Just how are women treated when they join a group of guys as a single going out to play a round of golf? We're going to get all to that and a lot more. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
If you'd like to play a round of golf today, Volcano has a 10:30 and an 11:42. It should warm up by then. It's 59 degrees. We're going to have the winds out of the east, northeast today. A little rain, a little sun, depending on where you just be ready for just about anything that's going to come down the line. At the Riviera Country Club, they finished round two. Everybody's in and a couple of guys are out. The two amateurs that were given sponsor exemptions, they did not make the cut. You know, the Riviera Country Club is like Hollywood refined. I expect to see Kate Hepburn playing golf there. I wanted to visit one day when I was in Los Angeles recently. I wanted to just drive up the drive to the clubhouse just to get the feel of the history and the place. And well, you can't, okay? They won't let you. But Phil Mickelson, of course, is there and having the time of his life. Unlike so many others, he absolutely loves playing at the Riviera Country Club.
Well, I really like Riviera. I mean, it's one of the best courses in the world, and I've enjoyed playing here the last 4 or 5 years. Had some success there in 09 and 10, I believe, and or 08 and 09. And looking forward to trying to get in contention this weekend.
He obviously is. He's at the top of the leaderboard. He's alone, 6 under. And we've got Pat Perez, Jimmy Walker, Matt Kuchar, Carl Pederson, all tied for third there with Pat Perez alone at number two, excuse me. Jimmy Walker, Matt Kuchar, Carl Pederson, Jared Lyle, Jonathan Bird, they're all T3. So it's going to be very exciting to watch. It's great to see Phil Mickelson being so magic. I mean, it's amazing to see him playing the way he is playing right now. And I hope it continues to the weekend because it's going to make the Masters just something else. With Tiger Woods right now, the odds on favorite, so to speak, the bookmakers taking the bets. I think if Phil Mickelson wins, he's probably going to be the guy at the top when it comes to those odds. All right, let's get right to the show because we've got Undercover. Woman Undercover is the title. Golf Digest is the magazine. And the two people who made this possible, this very interesting look at how a woman is treated when she goes to play at a course all by herself and she just wants to join a group of guys who are going to go out. Peter Finch, senior editor, Golf Digest magazine. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And with us is the undercover model who actually made it possible for Peter Finch to take a look at the reactions from the guys. Kim Hall, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. This is something that I'm sure we've all wanted to know. What was fascinating is the premise, how you set it up and how you went through it. Peter, why don't you tell us why you decided to do this and how you went about doing it?
Sure. Well, we have a fair amount of regular women's golf coverage in Golf Digest. I mean, I think, you know, we'd like to have room for more, of course, but, you know, Stina Sternberg gives us a pretty steady diet of good coverage, I think. But we were thinking about a way to sort of look at golf and women's golf in a bigger way, and we sort of assembled a package of stories that included we could do a survey of women golfers, and maybe we'd have a notable women golfer like Judy Rankin write an essay, and maybe, you know, some sort of regular women golfer voices. And then we thought, well, what if, you know, that all sounds great, but what if we added to it this kind of undercover idea where I would go with a woman golfer to a handful of different courses, and we would judge the reaction that she got, you know, with the both of us pretending not to know each other, and just kind of see how she fit in and how she was treated. And that was the genesis of the story, and that's what it became. So the package in our March issue has all those elements, but the kind of lead item and the one that I think is most special is the one that Kim helped us with.
Okay.
The undercover woman.
Yeah, you went to 5 different golf courses, right?
That is correct.
Okay, now you went to 5 different golf courses, but Kim Hall, you went as 5 different people.
Yes.
How did you pull that off?
You know what? It was all the people from Golf Digest that really made that possible. They actually had a stylist come travel with us to Chicago and put me in all these get-ups, you know, before each round. So we just planned it out to where we could do the most, you know, the most intense get-up, I guess, was first thing in the morning. That way me and the girl, the stylist's name was Nikki. Nikki and I could get up early and get all this garb on, you know, and get ready to go. And then for the afternoon round, we could just get in the locker room of the course we were at and transform into the other character, which was supposedly a little easier, and then move on to the next course. Because we played 2 courses in one day a lot of times.
So. Oh, so you had to be 2 different people, 2 different looks for in one day. What a challenge.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yep, yeah. It was actually pretty fun.
Kim was giving us a lot of credit for it, but really it was largely Kim's efforts that made this thing work. I mean, she was so good. You know, yeah, the makeup and the outfits and everything were important, but she really became these characters. It was incredible.
Some of the characters, I just to give people an idea, one was a little overweight and dressed rather frumpy, if I may say so. Okay, rather frumpy. Did not, you know, just kind of added to the overweight look. The other was the kind of tomboy. You know, it looked like she was proficient, wearing kind of men's shorts and a men's shirt look.
Those actually were men's clothes, right? Weren't they, Kim?
Were those men's...
What's that? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear Pete.
I think those actually were men's clothes, weren't they? They were
men's clothes.
You, but they were really kind of boxy looking.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to meet her in an alley. Okay, then we had the resort course. You know, she's wearing a nice woman's shirt, a nice pair of slacks, you know, 3/4 length, looking very good. Then there was, oh my, and the damsel in distress. I love how you call her that, because she is just dressed to the nines, perfectly done, perfect hair, perfect makeup, perfect, just the perfect look. And then you were the pro that you are. Kim Hall is an LPGA professional. And you just became a mom about a year ago?
Yes, actually, my daughter's getting ready to be 15 months, yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and it must have been really hard becoming the frumpy person to put that weight back on that you lost. Yeah, that's really something. Okay, so Peter Finch, Golf Digest senior editor, you went along with Kim to observe. You were the watcher.
Exactly. Yeah, we had each made tee times as singles at each of these courses separately, and then we had 2 rental cars, so we would each arrive at the courses separately and pretend not to know each other and pretend to meet each other and for the first time in the clubhouse or get, you know, introduced by the starter or whatever. And then, you know, I was just sort of disinterested guy who happened to be paired with her, and I was able to kind of watch how other guys interacted with us.
Tell us what the general feeling was when they found out that they were going to be playing with this woman they didn't know.
Well, I would say, you know, most of the men we met treated us fine. Certainly 100% of the people, from my perspective, who worked at the golf courses were great. We did encounter some rude guys. We had a couple of groups of guys who clearly did not want to play with us and, got away from us. I mean, they fled us before we could get to the first tee and go up with them.
You mean, okay, let me explain this. They actually drove away in their golf cart even though they were paired with you to tee off together on the same hole?
Well, yeah. I mean, the one group, well, Kim, you can tell the story about, the guys at that one club where they met you in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the clubhouse and I was checking in, and I was checking in front of the older gentleman, and I was the tomboy character. And I just checked in front of him, and the lady asked me at the cash register, do you want to walk or ride? And I said, I'll do whatever everybody else in the group is doing. You know what they're doing. And she looked right above my shoulder to the gentleman and said, Mr. So-and-so, what would you like to do? Would you like to walk or ride? She wants to know. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna ride, and I'm paying for two. And he shoved his money and everything in front of me, grabbed his ticket, and shot out the door, off to the cart, off to the first tee, teed off, and zoomed away.
Without you that, how did you feel?
I was just like, I can't believe this guy. I mean, I came outside and I told Pete, I said, this guy's going to drive off. We watch. There's no way he's staying. He just put his money in front of me and everything just took off.
And, I think it's worth noting that the course was full. I mean, it was, they got to the first green and they had to wait because there was a group, a foursome ahead of them. So we teed off and, waited behind them on every shot until they finally, actually they tried to have us go through. They didn't want us to play with them. And we said, why go through? There's another group right ahead of you. Can we just come along with you? And they grudgingly, let us come along. Of course, as soon as they saw Kim play, because she was playing, in that persona, she was playing as herself. As soon as they saw that she could really play, they were, their story changed. They were very welcoming. And one guy said, hey, you want to join us for a mixed doubles event? And, suddenly they were very friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So all of a sudden, you became a value to them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you could provide them with insight into how maybe they could improve their game.
Right, yeah. And they asked me questions. After we finally got in the group and I played a couple of holes, they asked me, where did you play collegiate golf, or did you play collegiate golf? And, what do you do where you live? What do you do in Vegas now? And all these kind of things. So I was interested after that, but it was, they're very, very standoffish before I got in the group.
We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about which reaction, which character got the worst treatment, which one got the best treatment. And Peter Finch, what do you think we can do? I mean, if we want to embrace women into the game of golf, I have my own ideas, and I'd like to bounce them off your reaction.
Okay, do you
reaction.
Want me to hold that thought till after your break?
Yes, please. Please hold that thought, and Kim, we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
We're talking with Peter Finch, senior editor at Golf Digest, and Kim Hall, LPGA, Golf Digest's undercover model. She went out as the ugly duckling, as the tomboy. She went out as the damsel in distress. She went out as the average Jane. She went out as the, well, professional, the golf pro look. A question I had of Kim, first of all, is who got the worst treatment and why do you think?
I think it was kind of a tie, I think, between the ugly duckling and the tomboy, really. But I will say that the ugly duckling, kind of continued to get ushered along, and she sort of got the oh, poor thing, has no idea what she's doing. She's so lost out here. She got that treatment kind of the whole day, whereas, you know, the tomboy character was, like, sped off from in the beginning, but, you know, pretty, I would say, well received after I played.
Because you proved you had the skills, while the ugly duckling was an obvious absolute beginner, which blows my mind. How did you manage to throw away all of your skills in the game of golf and blow it so badly that you shot a 120 or whatever it was?
It was pretty fun, I think, actually. I had my husband coached me a little bit. He's kind of he's a golfer himself, and he's like, you know, if you're going to make a really bad swing, think about all the, you know, the first timers that you've ever seen hit a ball. They have no lower body. They just kind of swipe at it. There's no weight shift. There's no anything, you know. They just kind of hit at the ball. And so I just tried to do that.
I think the
key word for me when I was looking at her as a bad player, especially around the green, was deceleration.
Ah.
It was all about deceleration for Kim.
Yeah.
Suddenly she looked very poor.
Interesting. I want everybody who's going to go play around to think about that. You know, I mean, that's a really good hint for you when you're playing, right? So who was treated the best?
Oh, definitely the damsel in distress.
Could she play?
No, she was horrendous. I mean, I dribbled it off the first tee. It was so funny. But, I could do no wrong. I was telling somebody that, you know, I could have, like, brought a bomb in my bag to the golf course that day, and they would have probably helped me light it, you know? I mean, it was just hilarious.
Yeah, they loved that damsel.
Yeah?
It was great.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that we're, you know, it's 2012, you know, it's not 1950, and gal with curls, lipstick, you know, and just, you know, drop
tight
dead.
Skirt.
Yes.
Short, tight skirt.
Yes. You know, it's, what is it? What do you think? Kim, what is it? Is it just, you know, it's what we all know about guys. You know, you dress the part and they're attracted.
Yeah, that's just kind of the way it is. Like, boys will be boys. And, you know, I mean, and I was actually speaking to a guy here in Vegas when I went to go play the other day, and he was asking me about the article. And he said, you know, if a girl comes here that's any kind of good looking, I mean, it's like everyone stops and puts their stuff down and watches her traipse across, you know, because it's just such an anomaly. But, you know, on the same token, like, the girl was all done up and everything. And I think they're sort of courtship mentality comes out, and they puff their chest out and
yes,
all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just really funny.
Yeah, it's cute. And they can't help themselves. So, okay, ladies, you know, a lot of us don't want to have to get dressed to the nines to go play a sweaty game of golf.
Well, I think that's the point, isn't it? I mean, you know, nobody would blame these guys for behaving like that. But as Kim points out in the article, is that really, you know, where we are? That you have to dress up like that to get treated nicely at a golf course? Obviously, that's an overstatement. You know, you don't have to. But certainly in our limited experience, in our non-scientific experiment in Chicago, that was where she was treated best by far.
And why do you think that is, Peter? You're a guy.
Well, just the reasons you guys were talking about.
And, well,
you know,
why
everybody
they...
wants, every guy wants to go out of his way to, you know, be friendly and accommodating and, you know, nice to the pretty girl.
Okay, but why were they scared off by all of the other women, even the ones that were proficient at the game?
Well, I think it's because for a lot of guys, golf is an escape. You know, for a lot of guys, golf is traditionally all male, so they've spent their whole lives, you know, just playing with other guys, and they feel that's comfortable, and they like to be with other guys. And, you know, as I point out in the article, that's their right. You know, if guys want to go off and play golf with just guys, that's okay. But if you go to a public course, open to the public,
yes,
and you go as a twosome,
yes,
there's a chance a woman are going to get paired with you. And, you know, I think it's rude for them to not be accommodating or not be welcoming, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
that's really the takeaway from the article, I think. And is there anything we can do about it? You know, I just think generally being aware of it, talking about it, being on shows like yours, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, Judy Rankin, you know, did write a piece for us that's part of this package in the current Golf Digest, where she talks about how far golf has come. You know, it was a lot different for her as a kid starting out, you know, than it would be for most women now. You know, I mean, golf has come a long way. But I think our, you know, Kim and my project shows that it has a ways to go.
Yeah, long ways. And while there's golf 2.0 and tee it forward and all the things that the industry wants to bring women into the game of golf, the bottom line is the guys and the women who play golf now, do they really want more people in their golf course space? And the answer, I think, is obvious, and the answer is no. They like it just the way it is, because...
Well, you know, some do. I mean, I wouldn't say the majority of
men really
are like that at all. Yeah, I think most men are welcoming to women in golf.
Okay.
Certainly, the reaction to our story has been overwhelmingly positive for men. You know, the reaction that we've seen online and in letters and comments on it and a Facebook chat that Kim and I did a few days ago, you know, most people have responded like, yeah, that's the way we view things. People should treat women better than that in golf. There have been a few people who reacted really negatively and thought we were out to bash men. And, you know, I think maybe they're projecting a little bit there, because we were not out to bash men. And if you see it that way, you know, maybe you ought to look at yourself a little bit to see why you see it that way.
No, I didn't see it as a men bashing article or undercover.
No, I mean, most,
expose,
you know, most
at
men
all.
That we encountered, mm-hmm. most of the men we encountered, I thought, were very nice to Kim and very welcoming. And certainly, yeah, I mean, in my experience golfing with women, men, you know, are more than welcoming. But there are some out there who are not, and I just think we should be aware of that.
We haven't brought up pace of play. And I think one of the statements that you make in the conclusion is really telling in all of this, is that if a man or a woman playing golf feels like they're going to be slowed up by someone who they don't know, A, and B, maybe not know the game, that's mm-hmm. going to completely turn them off. Is that...
Yeah, I think that's true, and that's something Kim talked about in the piece, too.
Tell me, Kim, what can we do about that, then?
Well, I mean, I just think that everybody needs to sort of keep an open mind, you know, because I would say that in general, definitely all the women that I play with here in Vegas, they're all very fast. And in some cases, they're faster than any of the guys I play with, you know, because sometimes the guys are taking it, you know, very seriously. It's like such a serious putt for them, you know, $5 putt or something like that. And like most of the women that I play with will just get up and hit it, you know, and they're kind of annoyed if it is slow. So, I mean, I think most people today sort of are with the program. They know that they just need to go when it's their turn and be ready to hit and that kind of stuff. So I think actually it's watching golf on TV sometimes that makes people slow, because they think they have to take all this time and him and haul over the yardage and all this kind of stuff. So, but on a day-to-day basis, I don't have any problem with pace of play, women or men, to tell you the truth.
Ah, well, that's good to hear.
I find that when I play with women, they've been accused of being slow so much that they're super sensitive about it and are often faster than the guys. So.
And your takeaway, Peter, in conclusion, what do you? I assume that you're trying to find out how golfers at a golf course are treating women who want to join. That's my assumption of the piece.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was about.
Okay.
You know, how are women treated, really treated by women and by men in golf today was the goal. And I think what we found was that, you know, there are some guys who do not want to play with women and are unashamed about, you know, making that known. I mean, that was pretty clearly the message we got. Now, some people have said to me, well, you know, maybe were they not running away from you? Maybe they just didn't want to play with somebody they didn't know. Entirely possible. I've been playing golf for over 30 years. It's never happened to me once that guys ran away from me on the first tee. And it happened to us twice out of five rounds in Chicago. So you can say that's a coincidence. I don't think it is.
You know, I like what you had to say about guys want to be themselves. The swearing that comes out naturally, you know.
Yeah. Kim had some funny comments on that, I thought, you know.
You want to wrap that up with us, Kim, on what you think, why would the guys feel like you're an intrusion as a woman just joining them?
Oh, well, I think it's just, you know, they want, like Pete said, they want to be guys. If they're a little guy time and, you know, they want to drink beer and burp and pass gas and swear and, you know, I mean, particularly if you're with the damsel in distress, I mean, she's definitely not going to, you know, in their eyes, appreciate that. And so I just think they would kind of want to have their little boys club, you know, and just be guys, and that's fine, you know. And even when I play, like I play with my dad and his buddies at home all the time, and they still to this day, you know, they'll swear and say, oh, I'm sorry, Kim, you know, and I've been playing with them since I was 10 years old, you know. And so there's always going to be that little line that they don't want to cross, you know, because they, you know, don't want to seem like they're being vulgar, being whatever.
She's
I get that.
On the course before, like, you know.
Well, I'm sorry, Peter, we missed that.
I was just saying, you know, it's funny to me that Kim's a grown woman. You know, she's heard people cursing before.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to freak out.
Yeah, yeah. And so I want to solve, I just want more women to get into the game. And that's really, what Stina Steinberg wrote about going into a pro shop and finding out that, you know, some guys will run away from you. They don't want to help you. They only want to give you a certain option. They don't want to show you the shafts. And even though you know that those kinds of insightful articles and yours are really helpful to us.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That was the point.
And I think for women who are still afraid to go to a pro shop because they're going to be ignored or don't know how to act, they're still going to be afraid. And you can demand from someone who's going to sell you something. You can demand customer service because you're going to give money for it. Sometimes a person doesn't feel like when they go into a pro shop, you can demand customer service. In fact, why would you have to go and demand to be treated nicely if you're going to go play a game of golf? And it's like, wait a minute, I'm here to relax. I shouldn't have to, you know, tell the waiter to be nice to me.
Right.
So we still have the problem. You know, we're still stuck with how do we get women past that feeling of not being included, not being accepted in the pro shop and beyond. You brought that up in the article, too, when asked, you know, where's the first tee? I'm lost. Over there. You know, like, go find it yourself. And that's the kind of thing that I don't think we're really addressing. And I don't know how to do it, frankly. I think we're a long way from making women who are just getting into the game comfortable walking into the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it makes a big difference to not only the groups that they end up getting paired with, but also just everybody in the golf business. You know, I mean, they can sort of lead by example, I think, you know, if they are, you know, super welcoming and just treat them like any other customer, or, you know, have you been out here before, or that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, there are places where the staff really does a good job of that, but It seemed like in this little piece that we did, they couldn't get past the whatever the getup was that you had on, you know. So, but yeah, it kind of starts with the staff and then people who are playing the game, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter who joins your group. You should be welcoming to them, and if you don't know them, ask some questions, you know, where are you from, what do you do, or those kind of things. I mean, just being friendly.
Yeah, and if you don't want to have somebody join you, pay for all four. And then
exactly. Book the entire tea time.
It's like booking the table. Hey, I want the room to myself. It's my room.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
Yeah.
Step up and pay for it. Thanks for being on the show. Peter Finch, the senior editor at Golf Digest. Kim Hall, LPGA professional. Thanks for being on the show with me this morning.
Thanks for having us. So we'll see you guys out there in April. The LPGA will be
yes.
there for the lotte.
Are you going to be playing them?
I hope so. We'll see. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'll look for you. I'll be in the media room. I'll come out.
Okay. Super. That sounds great. I won't be in my getup, I promise.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting. Ring in the new year at the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa. Located on Ka'anapali Beach at the foot of legendary Black Rock, this sprawling resort welcomes travelers to a world of relaxation and discovery. Every guest room is newly renovated and comfortably appointed with breathtaking views of the Pacific Ocean, lush gardens, or lava rock waterways. And at sunset, catch the breathtaking plunge during the Black Rock cliff diving ceremony. To rediscover the legend of Ka'anapali, call 808-921-4646 and book your reservation today.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
And welcome back. First of all, you know, on the Honda LPGA Thailand 2012 leaderboard, it's fascinating watching Yani Sen as she just plows her way back up. She didn't have the best rounds. In fact, last week she had one meltdown round. But here we go. Ai Miyazato is leading. Yani Sen is in second place now. She has this great blog at ESPN. It's really cute. She talks about herself and her game. Jiai Shin is tied for third with Kari Webb, followed by Amy Yang and Suzanne Pedersen. Strong women coming up the leaderboard. Our U.S. contenders right now, Stacey Lewis and Amanda Blumenhurst. And so good to see Amanda. I remember Amanda was, you know, going to be the next best thing in golf. And I don't mean that in any other way than, you know, respectful, because when the kids come out on tour, we have such huge expectations. And I think it's completely wrong to put that much weight on one person. They need to be able to mature into the situation. And Amanda is doing that just fine right now. And it's good to see her. You know, it was interesting to see Phil Mickelson at, of course, he's leading at Riviera, having a great time at the Northern Trust Open. I mean, a great time. Karen Krause was on the show last week from the New York Times. She asked him, how do you go from moping to magical in a week? I thought that was such a great question. go from moping to magical. It's great. But it isn't easy to win back-to-back on the PGA Tour. Phil Mickelson's done it before, so he knows that he can do it. And he's leading going into the weekend now at Riviera Country Club. And he talks about how he felt last Sunday and going into this week.
Gosh, I feel like I had such a fun week that I want to try and have that again. I don't feel like there's a letdown. I feel like there's an excitement and a new energy to get back in that position. I mean, I loved having a chance to win. I know I was six back, but I felt like I was right in it starting the last day. I want to feel that again here at Riviera. I feel like I'm playing well, and that if I play my game and focus hard, I should be able to get in contention and have that excitement again.
Well, Phil is definitely in contention. He leads, and Pat Perez is right behind him. And Pat's been up there, you know, going into the weekend. I don't know when he's going to close, but I feel like he's going to win sometime this year. Let's talk about equipment. You know, you got to have it. Okay, and before we bring in the gentleman, and before I announce who's going to be on the show, because I don't really want him, when I stand in front of, I've had to do this, you know, let's say condoms, you know, diapers. Have you ever stood in front of a wall of diapers and asked yourself, okay, I've got to pick up these diapers for whomever, and what am I going to choose? I have absolutely no idea. They have so many different options. I don't know. Boys, girls, they all have different shapes. So, what about golf balls? Have you ever walked into a pro shop or into a golf shop and looked at all of the different golf balls and said, I have no idea which one works best for me? Okay. I know that I'm not a great player. Okay, they talk about compression all the time. How am I going to be able to compress the ball? Then you heard about club fitting. I mean, you got to have your clubs fit. All right, it's as simple as that. They got to fit you. It's like wearing clothes. They have to fit. Now, have you heard about ball fitting? It's recently become quite popular, and I think Bridgestone Golf has probably led the way in ball fitting. And let's bring into the show now from Bridgestone, the director of marketing, Brandon Sowell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you having us on this morning.
Absolutely. I was always aware of your company as being a leading manufacturer of golf balls. What I wasn't aware of is that you also make equipment. I feel stupid for not knowing that because I've been in the business a little while, but but it's not something that you guys really highlight. You really talk about golf balls. So let's start with the golf balls and move to the equipment. Big thing that's happened in Bridgestone is David Faraday has joined you.
Absolutely, yeah. Now we've had a tremendous start to the year. We actually just launched some new golf balls, our B330 line. We've updated the entire line. And within that, we have our B330 and B330S, which are designed for faster swing speed players, tour performance. With the B330, a little bit more distance-oriented tour performance, and the B330S, a little bit added spin for players who want more greenside control. Well, so both of those models are designed for players over 105. And then below 105 miles per hour swing speed, we have our RX and our RXS. But given that same tour performance, but for more moderate swing speeds for players who obviously are the recreational players, amateurs who play week in and week out, they don't have the swing speed of a tour player, but they're still able to play a ball that's going to benefit their swing and help them score their best.
All right, first of all, let's break it down. Dual dimple technology, inner dimples and outer dimples. Would you please explain that?
Absolutely. Within the major update that we made with these new B330s is that dual dimple technology. And basically what it provides is better aerodynamics, better wind performance for these balls. The inner dimple primarily works at the launch of the ball. That's when the airflow is the fastest, and that's when the inner dimple works. And the outer dimple primarily takes over at the peak of the trajectory of the ball all the way to landing to help shallow it out and give a little bit more distance. So net result is better aerodynamics, better wind performance, and overall better accuracy for the player. So big enhancement that we made to all four of the B330 models, and players players should definitely be able to not only see this technology, because it's rare when you talk about golf balls to actually have a visual technology that you can see, an enhancement that we made to it. Is a great feature that we've added to them.
So the inner dimple actually gets you up in the air, the loft, to go, which so many of us would really like that golf ball to do when we're playing. Mm-hmm. The outer dimple is the landing, like an airplane landing?
Right, yeah. An airplane's an interesting analogy to use. It. Obviously, all golf balls have dimples, and all airplanes have wings, but the airplane's going to adjust the flaps on its wings depending on what it's doing. It's going to adjust its flaps for takeoff, and it's also going to readjust its flaps when it's coming in for landing. So that's a somewhat of an analogy of what's happening with our golf ball technology with the dimples, is that inner dimple is primarily working for takeoff when the ball's taking off to improve the airflow. Then that outer dimple takes over really at landing. So kind of a dual properties of it that's optimizing the flight of that golf ball.
Okay. And now why does it work so well in the wind?
It's really about optimizing the, you know, when the wind's coming, optimizing the airflow that's coming around the golf ball. So the more that the wind blows, the more that that inner dimple is going to be able to work to help reduce the drag force on the golf ball. It's going to be able to cut through the wind and have a little bit more of a piercing flight. And that's been the great thing with that, is that when we took it out to our tour pros and had them test with the prototype models, that was the first thing that they picked on immediately, is how much better it cut through the wind. It held its line, and that was the major feedback that we had from our players. And to be honest, we weren't sure how they were going to react when they saw that ball, because it does obviously have a little bit of a visual difference to it with that dual dimple. But as soon as they saw the performance, the looks of it were no problem for them at all.
Interesting. Always about the look, isn't it?
Absolutely. You got to have something that's pleasing to the eye, for sure.
Yeah. It's whether it's the putter or it's the driver head, whatever it is, the shaft, it's got to look good. But if it performs, so one thing that knocks me out is the sound. If contact makes a sound that I don't like, I can't play with it. It's a strange thing, but it does. and that doesn't make any sense, because the sound.
Sound is a big part of it. That's a lot of what we do in testing, and sound plays a big part in how people perceive the reaction of the ball and how they perceive the flight and the overall performance of it. So sound is definitely important to players.
Yeah. All right, you have these two types of balls. Let's go over them again now that we kind of have an understanding. You've got the B330 and the B330RX, right?
Correct. Well, we have the B330 and RX are... They're both the tour performance distance type, and with the B330, it's for faster swing speeds, and the B330RX is for more moderate amateur swing speeds that swing like the average recreational player. And that's one of the great things you mentioned talking about ball fitting, is that we've been conducting our Bridgestone Challenge ball fittings across the country and even in Hawaii, where we have amateurs come out and test their current golf ball, whatever brand or model it may be, versus a Bridgestone model, and put them on a launch monitor and test side by side. And what we learned from that was that over 75% of the average recreational amateurs swing below 105, but yet more than half of those amateurs are playing a tour performance ball that's been designed for the likes of Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or Fred Couples, and their swing speeds are 115 miles per hour. So that same golf ball just doesn't work for the average amateur, and that's really how the 330RX was born, based off of that information.
All right, it has to do with compression. We're going to take a break and talk about that and what you need to do if you are below 105, and how this particular ball might be able to help you get better compression, even though you don't have that 115 mile per hour swing speed. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991.
licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man. Can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're talking with the director of marketing at Bridgestone Golf, Brian Sowell. And just first of all, you know, for most of people who play golf, just recreationally, most of us play, you say, under 105 is our swing speed.
Correct. Yeah, that's what we've learned through our ball fitting. We've fit over 150,000 amateurs now and a good 77% swing below 105 miles per hour, and there's only that 23% that swing above 105 when it comes to your average amateur.
Okay, so and most of us are playing what we see the other, you know, professionals, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Matt Kuchar. They're all playing with these great golf balls, and we think that if we play with those golf balls, that we're going to be successful. No.
That's not always necessarily true, and that's what we found through our ball fitting and educating consumers, is that although golf balls all are white with dimples, that they're actually going to see a big launch and performance differences between them, basically by playing a ball that's going to work better for their game. So you mentioned before that you need to be able to compress the ball to really get the best distance out of it, and that's what's true with golf ball fitting. So if the average consumer is hitting a ball that's too firm, one that's been optimized for Fred Couples, the average amateur is not going to be able to form that ball, and it's going to produce a very high spinning property of the ball. So if that average consumer has a tendency to slice, if he's playing a ball that's too firm, it's going to even more exaggerate that slice. We need to be able to get a consumer that has a lower compression golf ball, something they're going to be able to deform. The more they can deform it, the less spin they're going to have, the better accuracy they're going to get, and ultimately the better distance they're going to have.
Okay, think about it this way. You know, when he says deform, when a club head hits the golf ball, it literally deforms the golf ball. It compresses it. It changes its shape. All right, chances are you're not going to be able to do that. All right, what would happen if Tiger Woods used a B330RX? Would he squish it?
He would probably overcompress it. Yeah, there is a point of overcompression that is possible if someone swings it too fast when they're playing a low compression ball. So that's why Tiger Woods or Fred Couples are going to have firmer compression golf balls, because they have such a fast swing speed. They're going to get a good compression on it, whereas the average amateur should play a softer one so they can get that same level of compression and deformation that Tiger Woods or Fred Couples get. But he's getting in a ball that's got a softer compression that's going to work better for his swing speed and get that same amount of compression.
Freddie Couples liked this ball so much, he's using it this week at the Northern Trust Open, right?
Yeah, he's using our brand new B330 as well as Brant Snedeker, who actually won early this year. As we introduced the balls, and 3 days later, he goes out and wins with it. So that was fantastic for us. And then Matt Kuchar is using our B330S. He likes a little bit extra spin control, so he's using our S model. And he's playing well this week up there in the Northern Trust Open, and just a couple shots off the lead with Phil Mickelson there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, what is the RXS?
The RXS is similar to our B330S model, where that one's for the faster swing speeds. Okay. The RXS is for the average amateur swing speeds, but it gives them that extra spin control around the greens, and that's really where the S from the name comes from, is for players who are looking for a little bit more finesse and control around the greens. this golf ball is going to help them be able to score better if that's what they're looking for and that's what they need in their game. So within both swing feet sets, we have a kind of a distance edge option, and we also have a spin edge option. So depending on what the player preference is, they have a choice.
Well, let's hope you have another Bridgestone fitting here in Hawaii soon. And I know if you go online, you can find out exactly where there are a whole bunch of them are happening right now in Florida in this month and all across the country. You can just go to their website, bridgestonegolf.com, and there's a ball fitting link. And then you'll find, it says, just challenge, no, that's a challenge schedule, the ball fitting event near you. You just click on that and you'll see exactly where they're having, like Saturday, is it still the 18th today? I get ahead of myself. Bay Colony, the Plantation Golf Course, they're having, that's Indio in California. Vero Beach Golf Roundup, they're having one today. Frenchman's Creek, that's in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. See a lot in Florida right now. Tampa Bay Downs, they're having one. So you can get out and find out exactly. You take your golf ball and see how it matches up with the one that Bridgestone has, and maybe you'll like it better. You know, I'm not saying you will, but you gotta try it all. You just don't know until you try it. Now,
yeah, that's absolutely right. And when we come out, we find that we're able to find a better ball for about 8 out of 10 people, and there is that 20% that we say, hey, that ball that you're playing with is working for you. Stick with it. But other 80% of the time, we're able to find better performance for the average guy.
Okay, let's get to the equipment. The J40-445 driver. Is this new?
It is relatively new. It came out late last year, so it's only been out for a few months now. Great, great driver. It's a 445cc round shape. It's got a 6-4 titanium construction, so it's a great traditional. It's designed for better players, very square set up at address, and great, great performing piece. And we also have it in a 430 head side as well. Again, designed for the better player, a little bit more of a classic shape to it. It's actually a driver that Matt Kuchar is playing with this week, and it's obviously working pretty good for him. So a great classic look, very clean driver head.
What I found fascinating, going to your website again, is all the different shaft options, all the different custom. You can get it in just about anything you want.
Absolutely. Just as with the golf ball, customization is critically important. I mean, you should get fit for all pieces of the equipment that you play with. So we definitely offer a wide range of options to be able to match up with what the average player is looking for and what's going to help them score the best and hit the ball the best.
And if it's not in stock, it's special order, but it's still available, so that's great. Now, what would you recommend to the average player or the person who's not that average, maybe the below average, not that very good driver?
Well, the 445 driver is going to give the best forgiveness. It's a little bit of more of an oversized head shape. It's going to be more forgiving for any of those occasional miss hits that a player might have, and help them maintain the accuracy. And if they can get better accuracy, they'll have better distance as well. So definitely that 445 is the most forgiving and easy on the eye. It's a little bit more of a bigger head shape. It's going to have more of a pleasing look to the eye.
What's the newest out? You've got fairway woods, hybrids, your cavity back irons, the dual pocket cavity. I don't understand that part. You've got cavity backs, I understand. Then there's the dual pocket. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. So on that one, on the J40 dual pocket, what we've done is the cavity back iron, but there is some weight in the back of the head. And what we've been able to do is there's two pockets in the back of the head. That if your listeners go to our website, they'll be able to check out and see the visual of this club. But there's two pockets, and what we've been able to do is move discretionary weight to the perimeter of the club face, which the net result of that for the player is going to be more forgiveness. And also, too, with this, we've had more mass directly behind the hitting area, which is going to give better feel to the players as well. So this is a nice mid-size iron. It's a premium forged, made out of 1020 carbon steel. So nice forgiving iron that it's going to give a nice traditional look to for the player. It's a fairly thin top line, so it's got a nice classic look and feel to it.
I see that most of your equipment is designed for professional to mid handicap amateurs.
That is That is correct. Yeah, with our clubs, most of our clubs, it's kind of a niche following, if you will, with our Bridgestone clubs. As you mentioned before, golf balls are our bread and butter. And that's really where our company got its start. Obviously, we're part of the Bridgestone Corporation, which is more famous probably for tires. And tires are made of rubber, right, as well as golf ball cores are made of rubber. Yeah. So that's really where the Bridgestone golf ball side of things got kicked off back in the 1930s, believe it or not.
And then when did the clubs come in?
The clubs came in, actually, that's where the 40 comes from. And the name of the clubs. We've been making clubs for about 40 years now, and that's why they're called J40. So those came in a good bit later after the golf ball.
Great. It's been great talking with you. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having us.
Absolutely. It was fun watching Paula Creamer and Lee Trevino at the PGA Tour. They were there with Bridgestone because they're both players for Bridgestone Golf. Aloha, and we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Ring in the new year at the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa. Located on Ka'anapali Beach at the foot of legendary Black Rock, this sprawling resort welcomes travelers to a world of relaxation and discovery. Every guest room is newly renovated and comfortably appointed with breathtaking views of the Pacific Ocean, lush gardens, or lava rock waterways. And at sunset, catch the breathtaking plunge during the Black Rock cliff diving ceremony. To rediscover the legend of Ka'anapali, call 808-921-4646 and book your reservation today.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. If you would like to play a round of golf, we've got a great tee time for you at McKenna on Maui. There's a 9:35 and a 10:48. The McNeil Group is going out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. On Oahu at Royal Hawaiian, you could play at 10:40. Or 12 o'clock. And we've got at Poipu an 11 and an 11:30. And at Makalei on the Big Island, there's a 10:52. All right, if Phil Mickelson pulls off a win and he's going into the weekend in the lead at Northern Trust, if he pulls off a win, the win at the Riviera this weekend, you know, likely he'll be the favorite for the Masters. Of course, Tiger Woods right now is favorite for the Masters. If Tiger Woods doesn't win the Masters, the question is, will he have a chance of regaining his momentum and, you know, besting Jack Nicklaus's major title, the 18? Will he be able to reach that number or better it? Got to win the Masters. But it looks like Phil's got the game right now. And he was asked what he and Butch Harmon are doing to prepare for the Masters. Phil.
Butch and I are more in the maintenance phase. We're not going through any changes. The swing is what it is. It's where I want it to be, and we're just making sure that it stays there, that there's no major changes that we will be doing. And so it's more just going back to the fundamentals for he and I, getting a good foundation and then getting ready to compete. I have a pretty good understanding of how to play Augusta National, so it's not like I'm looking for any answers. I know how I want to attack it, given each pin placement, where I want to hit it, how the shots I want to hit, and now it's just a matter of refining and getting ready so that it's there when I need it.
Excellent. Knowing how to play a course is, it's key. And one of the things that you do is you go into the pro shop whenever you go to a golf course that you've never been to, and you ask the people, you know, first of all, you ask if there's local rules. You ask them if there's anything that you should know about the golf course that might help you. For instance, which way the greens are running, you know, and in Hawaii, it's often to the water. Yeah, that's the way it all depends now, because the greens aren't the way they used to be at all the golf courses. And case in point would be the Makai Golf Club on Kauai, and I got to play there. I had a really good time. I really enjoyed myself. And the general manager of the Makai Golf Club is with us now, Alex Nakajima, to tell us how to play. Makai, good morning.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Good to have you on the show. So tell us, first of all, you know, a lot of people haven't been to the Makai Golf Club in a long time. We don't get to travel as much as we'd like to. And they may remember the course as not having the kinds of, gorgeous bunkers and greens that you have now. What have you done? Tell us what you've done.
Well, I believe, Daniel, you got to play our golf course about 3 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago. But you saw the changes. You know, the Robert Trent Jones initially designed the golf course back in 1971. It was the first golf course to be designed on Hawaii. And since then, after almost 40 years later, he had the opportunity to renovate our golf course. So he's touched our golf course twice. And we went to Seashore Pass, found key fairway greens and bunker stands are now D3 silica from Vietnam. You know, the angulations on the greens are completely different, and yardage, obviously, everybody's getting much, much longer, so it's stretched to 7,200-plus. So the golf course is completely transformed to a modern golf course, and it's meeting the challenges of all the resort guests and the epic golfers as well. So we're very thrilled to have a new product and, new product for the resort.
Oh, yeah. Plus, for, you know, Kamaaina, for locals who've been here, they may not realize just how gorgeous it is. There's no mixture of earth and sand anymore in your bunkers. The drainage is amazing. And the silica is, it's just wonderful. You can understand why sometimes here on television, the bunker isn't a bad place to be for that particular shot. And, you know, for those of us who aren't really good, go, really? But when you're in good bunkers like yours, then you can understand it's not so hard to get out of them and up onto the green. It's beautiful. Now, what I didn't quite understand, what kind of green do you have there? What kind of grass are you using on the greens?
It's now getting very popular on the Hawaiian Islands, but it's called the Seashore Pastellum grass. It's much more it's salt tolerant, and it can handle less fertilizer, less chemical. So, you know, USGA has been talking about this for a long time, and we finally decided to make the change. And right now we're maintaining, the rust are still Bermuda, so we're maintaining two types of grass on the golf course, but the it's much, much lush green, and the playing surface is superb. So I think everyone will enjoy the new change here.
Yeah, the grass makes the putt it wonderful, but the undulation on the green itself gives it the challenge.
Right.
And it's really, really marvelous. Some of your greens are quite large, too.
That's right. Yeah, so the green sides are pretty well, there's a big target to hit into, and we added a lot more bunkering throughout the golf course.
Yeah.
You have to strategically, you know, decide how much you can bite off the golf course. And then the fine sand, so, you know, it takes a little bit of a practice to get out of those bunkers. Before, we had a native soil, native sand, and then it was mixed in with a reddish clay sand. So it was much compacted. It was harder to get out. But now it's almost like a PGA Tour.
Yeah, it is.
On the TV.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice, and the views are spectacular. Before we get to the views, though, you have 27 holes.
That's right. Yeah, we still do 27 holes. This time with the renovation, we renovated the 18 holes, which all the locals know, the Ocean 9 and the Lake 9. And these were the most popular nine-hole combination that everybody played on. So we decided to renovate the 18 holes first. And the woods course is still playable. We do maintain it, but it's a much inexpensive option for local residents, father and son, young beginners, and doesn't want to be pushed by the avid golfers. So we have a nice product mix with a, you know, very high quality 18 holes, and also a nice option on a much relaxed 9 hole option on the woods course. So,
and
I
understand if you want to walk the woods course, it's a very reasonable rate. What is that?
You know, you'll be surprised. It's a $17 offer for local residents. You know, we have a lot of walkers on the golf course. It's part of the exercise. It's part of their lifestyle now. That they come out 2, 3, 4 times a week. And that's the one of our way to give it back to the community and keeps everybody in the game. So I think that's a great option for local residents here.
Yeah, let me say that again. $17.
That's right, 17.
And it's really pretty.
That's right. It's one of the best deals on the island, yeah.
Yeah, it is the best deal on the island. You're at, you know, it's gorgeous, first of all. The golf course is, it's, you know, I've always been, I love the Prince course because of the views, but I've got to tell you, since I was on the Mackay course, you've got some amazing views. There was a whale that I had to stop. That's the hard part about keeping pace of play going when there's a whale that's breaching, and then it goes a little bit, and then it breaches again. It's like it's doing cannonballs out there, you know?
That's right. That's right. You know, because we're on the bluff, you can see far out, and the whales are out there. And right now we have albatross on the golf course, and the babies are hatching throughout the golf course. So it's hard to keep your ball in play. You know, you wanted to look around so much. The pace of play sometimes, you know, people take a lot of pictures and wander around. So there's so much to see and offer.
Yeah. I was fortunate. There was a couple of, like, National Geographic-style cameras, and these people were set up, and there were albatross, and they were doing this dance. It was just wonderful to see, and we were very polite and didn't bother them.
Yeah, it's a great time to be here in Princeville.
Yes, it is great. Okay, yeah. There's a new promotion that you've got out. It's called the Aloha Mackay Golfer. Let's see, the 9 Wine and Dine.
I'm glad you got that right, yeah. 9 Wine and Dine. Yeah, it's a 9-hole experience for late in the afternoon. A lot of people are, you know, the problem with golf is a lot of people say this takes too much. I can't commit to 5 hours on the golf course. So there's a lot of people that want to experience the golf on Hawaii. So we created a package called 9 Wine and Dine. So play 9 holes, you actually get a $50 credit at the St. Regis hotel. So you play the 9 and then take your $50 credit over to the bar or restaurant over at St. Regis on property, and it's the best deal for Princeville.
I like it. So I can go get my exercise for $17, go play the woods course, and then I can go play the other 9, and then go dine and have some wine.
That's right. That's right. That's the right concept, yeah. And that's the really true way to enjoy Princeville.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a fabulous facility on the golf side, and the St. Regis is just stunning with the new renovation. So I think people will enjoy it.
Yes, I do too. I know you will. Treat yourself to a wonderful weekend and have some fun. Okay, Alex Nakajima, General Manager, Mackay Golf Course, Mackay Golf Club. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return.
return to the golf club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. TaylorMade is having a demo day right about 10 o'clock this morning at Mauna Lani. What a beautiful course that is. Mauna Lani on the Big Island. So go over to find out everything about TaylorMade between 10 and 2 today. Jerry King will be there too. And, you know, Jerry, he knows everything about teaching too, so I would take advantage of that opportunity if I were you. If you want to play a round of golf at Poipu, see if you're on Kauai and you've played on the North Shore at Princeville, then you just go drive down to the South Shore because you want to see the whole island, of course. So you're going to go play Poipu, right? Like the Thames Party, they're playing today. There's a tee time for you available now if you'd like to play at 11 o'clock or 11:30. But the Thames Party, they're going out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. And from what I've been learning from these club manufacturers, the sweet spot has gotten so huge, and it's just about every it's probably going to happen for you without that much difficulty. Now, let's go back. Two amateurs didn't, well, they got a lot of flack from some people. You know, why did Northern Trust give two amateurs sponsor exemptions? Well, because Northern Trust is paying the bills. And so Northern Trust has a set number of sponsor exemptions. And that's what they do. They give them to whomever they please. Jordan Spieth and Patrick Cantlay did not make the cut. But they had an amazing experience. I say this only because Phil Mickelson talks about the opportunity he had when he got to play on a PGA Tour event as an amateur.
I really enjoyed how San Diego and Los Angeles, both tournaments, had a amateur qualifying. I thought that was really a cool feature that gave every amateur in the area an opportunity to get into the tournament. I thought that gave me something to dream about, look forward to every year, and I was always appreciative of that, and when I finally did get into the tournament as an amateur, I was 17, and it was an experience of a lifetime. Played a practice round with Seve. It's something I'll always remember.
By the way, experience of a lifetime, I think that reminds me of Tom Watson's latest DVD. It's out. You really should go get that. It's really, really good. He has a wonderful way about explaining things. I really enjoy that particular DVD by Tom Watson. It's available in Japanese, too, in lots of different languages. I think in German, too. Patricia Hannigan is going to join us now. This is Golf Girl. Welcome to the show, Patricia.
Well, hi there, Danielle. How are you today?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. I love your book that you have out. It's the Little Tartan book, How to Be True to Your Sex and Get the Most from Your Game.
Yes, indeed. And it's funny, the recent series of articles in Golf Digest Women really kind of went into a lot of what I talk about in that book and how the perceptions of what women are like on the golf course and the reality are really two different things, and how women have to kind of deal with these perceptions but still linger on.
Well, they certainly do linger on. I mean, it was obvious. The damsel in distress, the one who couldn't play for her life, but she looked fabulous. she was sheltered around and you know, as she said, she could have spent 20 minutes in the in the restroom on nine, and they wouldn't have had a problem with that at all. But they probably wouldn't have had, the men wouldn't have had the same kind of "this is my time on the golf course" experience. They would have been under stress, because one of the things that's obvious from that a series of articles and some of the responses is that guys just want to have, or women want to have, some time alone. And it's not just guys. I think the women, there was a survey done, and the Executive Women's Golf Association, I believe, 1,500 women responded. And they, for the most part, said that they have had great experiences on golf courses. But they also, and they're good golfers, they also said that they were not always received welcoming arms in pro shops. And it's always been my problem. I sound like a harpy. You guys have to treat us better in pro shops, okay?
But that's a good point. Not only is the treatment not really up the par, so to speak, but also the selection is just so much more limited, and that gets very frustrating as well. Now, they're obviously working with the numbers, but it still does kind of present an unbalanced sort of view to a new player.
Okay, you're talking about the selection of clothing and what have you in the pro shop?
Yes, and then, you were perhaps talking about signing in, and when you kind of are received there, that can be different as well.
Yeah, no, it's very much so. But I've noticed that, for instance, at Pearl Country Club, they're working really hard to expand the women's line. There are pro shops that are starting to embrace that. What I think is, they want women to play. They want more children to play. They want more families to play. Golf 2.0. What's your take on asking lots of different, facets, ethnic minorities, majorities to play, and yet they're not being received? Where's the disconnect between the powers that be at the USGA and the PGA of America saying, let's embrace more golfers, we got to get, because the rounds of golf being played are down and we're hurting as an industry? There's some disconnect between what those guys are saying and the reception that people get when they go to a golf course.
Absolutely. And I think, it's been being talked about for several years now, because the number of rounds have been declining for quite some time. But I think, to my mind, this is the first time that I have seen a real effort to say, hey, wait a minute, we have to rally all the troops here. Prior to this, there were some initiatives that were very broad-based, but it seems to me that there is really just a more emphasis on getting everyone from the frontline people at clubs all the way across. And I just think it's going to take a little while for that to happen. And that's going to be that sort of, the difficult period when these new golfers are coming in, to be able to have everyone in a club, and particularly, a lot of the, like in every service job, a lot of the frontline employees, just they're not paid very well. They're not really vested in the operation of whatever they're doing. And it's going to be a little bit difficult to get that level, which is important, to buy into this whole idea,
That's and a very good point, because it is... Yes, the people who greet you at the front are the lowest paid people in the whole business, in the house, right?
And wages have been stagnating, in the U.S., I think, just pretty much everywhere But it's amazing, you know, when you're working or you're independent, that you kind of lose track of how low the wages are for service employees on the front line. They're really not living wages. And so you're dealing with how do you kind of get folks to buy into what you're doing? You know, it's very, very difficult. And an initiative that goes beyond the day-to-day job. And I think that's really kind of a good point, that they're going to have to be very innovative and very sort of, you know, kind of thinking out of the box to get this to work on a broad base.
Across the board. You know, I was reading your blog. I mean, I'm going to have to tell you, you went to Davos, and I'm so totally jealous. You're talking about economic indicators and what have you. I mean, I lived in Davos for 4 years. So did you have a good time?
Oh, I had a fantastic time, and the experience was really extraordinary in the whole, you know, the ambiance and being able to really get this kind of inside look at what people are talking about at very high levels the highest levels of, economic and geopolitical situations. I was there really basically assisting someone who I'm working for now, and it was quite an experience.
So
what the biggest takeaway for me was sustainability, and I think it applies to golf. I really was sort of disappointed there weren't more representatives, and that's something I think there should be representatives from golf at this conference. It would be, even doing panels and that type of thing. Sustainability, both environmental, economic, is so important. And I think that's part of what is happening now with golf and trying to grow the game and become more inclusive. I think a lot of people are realizing that what we've built is not really sustainable, and particularly if we're not bringing in people who have been really excluded up till now, you know?
Yes. Greg Norman, when he was at the Humana, was talking about the importance of building golf courses that are actually sustainable, that in the past 20 years, the golf course industry went on a building rampage, a building golf courses that we were passing on to our next generation. These golf courses are so expensive to maintain. They're not sustainable, that we have to start looking at, and we're going to seashore past Palom grasses and what have you here in Hawaii that can take they don't need as much chemical, they don't need as much fertilizer, they don't need as much pesticide, they don't mine the salt.
Not as much water, and
right.
That's so important for the future. Water was a big issue at Davos too, and I think if anyone's forward thinking at all, that is certainly something one has to think about, the availability of water, and it's going to be an issue in the future.
It is going to. It is an issue now. Yeah, it is an issue now.
We're seeing it in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, in Hawaii, you know, we've always been conscientious about our water use, for the most part. But with the drying of the changing of the climate, and when you just think about like in Israel and Palestine, where they try to get water from one place to another, you can make the desert bloom if you can get water to it. The problem is transferring the water, using your resources wisely, the ones that you have, don't pollute them. I mean, it goes on and on. So. Yes, indeed. Sustainable golf courses, and that's why the USGA suggested going to, you know, the new green is brown. I mean, we can't always expect a golf course to be green. That's just not natural. That's not the way the Lynx course was designed. Was it designed? Was a Lynx course really designed, or was it just there? A piece of ground that they just turned into a golf course?
I have a feeling it was just there.
Me too. You know, ultimately at the very beginning of time.
And that worked out so well that the sport has lasted for centuries, right?
Right. So we do have to change. It's very hard for Hawaii courses to do that, because when people are on vacation, our resort courses depend on people coming here to be on vacation, and they have a certain expectations. Mm-hmm. But what they've done at the Makai course on Kauai is really cool. They take 18 holes, made them into a resort course, and they took the other seven and they didn't make all the fancy upgrades, but for $17, you can walk nine holes.
That is the way horses should be thinking. That's so much the way they should be thinking at this point. And then the resort guests can still enjoy this beautiful, lush course. But the folks who are playing on a day-to-day basis or are, you know, on a budget and living their day-to-day life there can go walk on and play without, you know, just bankrupting themselves.
Yeah, and so, get exercise. Exercise at the same time, yeah, right?
It's great. I think that makes such total sense. And hopefully that's what will happen. Particularly to some of these, I mean, there's so many of them, and they have been overbuilt. These great big championship courses that are built rather close to each other, and at one point, you know, you had this sort of boom, and now, again, so many of them are finding themselves unsustainable with that model.
Yeah.
So what you were talking about, it just sounds perfect. You know what I really like the idea of is painting. Painting the greens. Painting the grass, it's something that you haven't heard too much about yet, but I think ultimately in places where that green is really valued, they have these vegetable paints that are perfectly ecological, and it's amazing how realistic they look. People find it so funny, but to me it's really quite brilliant.
Well, you know, as long as it's not the green that I've been seeing, you know, I see where they patch some places with the green, the paint just doesn't look right. But I can go for it if it's the right color.
I was able to see this experiment that they were doing at one of the universities where they were working with all different dyes, and some of them, in fact, yes, they look awful. They looked artificial. But then they had perfected it in certain places, and I think that'll be the future. They will find a way to make it look very, very realistic, you know?
Yes, that's, I love it. We've just really run out of time. You know, we've just gone all across the world, from economics to sustainability, which is economics.
Yeah, most definitely. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Danielle, and I really would love to talk about some other, I've got a million other things I wanted to talk about, too, so we'll do that in the future.
We will. You'll just have to tell me when's a good date for you so we can do that. You can find more from Patricia Hannigan, and I mean, Rising Commodity Prices and the Fate of a Popular Golf Course is her latest blog, and it has to do with grain, land, and taking...
Corn.
Right?
Absolutely. It's a really interesting story about how the rising Midwestern farmland prices have, you know, put this particular golf course at risk. And it just kind of shows this vulnerability that golf has to the surrounding real estate, you know, value of the surrounding real estate.
Exactly. And what is needed today? What is taking precedence? In Hawaii, it's houses.
Yes.
And in the Midwest, it's grain, and other things. So, yes, thank you so much for being on the show. TheGolfGirl.blogspot.com. And she goes all around the world and talks about many different things. Clothing, and the name of your book again?
It's Golf Girl's Little Carton Book. And it's available on Amazon. It's published by Abrams Publishing, and it was a fun book to write.
Yes, and it's a fun book for women to have if they don't know exactly how to behave on a golf course. And you'll want to know that so that when you walk in, you know that you've got it down and they don't. And they're just being plain old rude.
That is it.
Thank you.
You can handle it.
Patricia Hannigan, thanks so much for being on the show.
Nice talking to you, Danielle.
Aloha.
Bye now.
And thank you for making the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, sheet metal, doesn't matter what you need, they will make it custom design and well, first of all, they custom design it, and then they build it for you. Alakai Mechanical. The Sony Open in Hawaii and Star Protection for property threat, risk assessment, protection for your home or your business. for your concert, your special event, whatever it may be, you want to have star protection on your property there in Hawaii and in California. And Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa, anchored by the legendary Black Rock. The Golf Club is sponsored by Hawaii Golf Travel News.com. If you want a golf package, go check them out. HawaiiGolfTravelNews.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.